Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for His Word. I thank the Lord for what He is doing. God loves us and He cares about us. He will bless us full time. A lot of preachers want to be full time. And that means that they preach and they don't have a job. But really, full-time ministry is living the life of God. That's the real term of full-time. And that being the definition, I've been full-time a long time. I'm retired now from my job. I gave them 25 hard years. And I enjoyed that job. I missed the people. Had some good times there, but now this chapter of my life, this is why I can do better broadcasts. You don't hear the road noise of me going to work like in the old, like the broadcast of, the audio page 5 and down. But nevertheless, I thank God for this chapter of my life. I still work for myself and I'm able to make more money now, and I thank God for that. You know, when God bless you with more, it's to do more. And I love people. You can live the life. Living the life is ministry all by itself. And that's why I say I've been full-time a long time. And I thank God for it in that sense. But I still work. And working has always been a part of my ministry. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I had a business, and I said, if I'm going to be a preacher, then, one day I won't be doing this business. But that's not what God had for me. And the reason I brought that up is because He knew what I would face. He knew that business would be important to my ministry. We live in a day and time that people are not connected to the head. They're trying to minister without being connected to the head. In other words, people are doing ministry the way that they see fit, not how God ordained it. Even when God tells them to do, they put a spin on it. And they still do some traditional things that hold them back. And then there's the problems that exist that they're not, sometimes people are not aware of the things that they allowed. Now, the Lord talked to me about reserves and allow, and later years, He talked to me about allowances. And for the sake of time, I'll make it short, but I'll go back and explain it. When, it's reasonable and customary for us when we get saved, we repent from our sins. Now, repenting, the meaning of the word repent has been watered down. People say, well, if you sin, just repent. And then you're back in the grace and fellowship of God and just do what's right. Well, that's right. That's what you're supposed to do. But the way people handle it, it has become watered down. People think repenting is just asking for forgiveness and you try not to do it no more. I like to make things better and more understanding of the real meaning of repentance is the word reject. We need to reject sin. We need to reject the ways of the world. We need to reject the darkness of this world. Now, I give my life to Jesus and I reject sin and everything associated with it. Every thought, deed, action, all the way back to the beginning of it, I reject it. Now, Henry Gruber, I got that from Henry Gruber. When he take back territory where blood was spilled, he break the covenant with death. To the first thought, deed, action, all as far back as need be. Because when blood is spilled on the ground, that gives the enemy territory. And you got to take it back. I didn't know this, but it was biblical. It's biblical. And he gave scripture for it. Now, I won't go in all that today, but the priest was supposed, whenever somebody died, the priest was supposed to go and do this. Now, I think that's either in Leviticus or Deuteronomy, but I have to find the verse again. And I need to get that book that Henry Groover wrote about. That's a lot of information there, and it works. You can, you know, if you listen to his broadcast on YouTube, you can, you know, God put that, he gave us a jewel of a man when he sent Henry Groover to the to prayer walk the earth. And a lot of miracles happened because of what he's done. Now, in other words, when you reject darkness, that's different from casually repenting and trying not to do it again. No. I didn't always know how to come out of things, and you know, I didn't always know how to master the temptations and problems that I talk about sometimes. That was stages. Repenting, rejecting sin can take stages of your life to do it. You can't, that's not always something you can begin in one day, but to finish and master it, that can take time. It takes training. It takes understanding and logic and the love of God. See, we defeat the law by love. Our perfect love casts out fear. And as we love each other like we love ourselves, or if we love others the way Jesus loves us, we fulfill the whole law. Now, I stumbled onto some knowledge by doing these things. I say, Lord, if I'm going to do what you expect, I need your help. Because I just didn't know how to do it. So, and also, when it was time for me to make lifestyle changes that last, I needed God to guide me in the all truth. And, you know, I asked the Lord to help me to, you know, I've seen other ministers, they struggle with temptation. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And sometimes they'll say, you know, eventually if something's on your mind, on your heart, you're going to speak it. You're going to voice it. It's inevitable. You know, you're going to voice it. And I detected and I knew that they were struggling. But they were faithful. We were all in the same boat. People shared the same kind of thoughts. But they were doing something about it. But I could tell they were struggling. And in those days, what guys would do, if they were struggling, they'd go to church more and they'd pray. But they didn't expect, and they did, or to me, they didn't expect to learn how to master it. And I thought about something. I said, I've been going to church. I grew up in church. My dad was a pastor. He lived the life, and the marriage that he and my mom had made me want to be married. Now that's how powerful their marriage was. I never seen them fuss, fight, argue, and not talk to each other. They always, I don't know how, you know, I know that they had their differences and went through problems. My sisters are older than me. And they remember times when they had problems, but I came along when they were more established. All right, if you're in your 20s, you start out, or your 30s, and, you know, you get married, late 20s or mid 20s, you're married. You got to learn each other and grow. You're going to have differences, and you're going to see things differently. But when you're ministering, you're learning all the time. All right. My youngest sister is 7 years older than me. My oldest sister is 16 years older than me. So in that time, they learned each other, and they grew, and they learned to listen to each other, and they put each other first. Now, that took growth to do that, but that's what they did. They put each other first. They used each other's strengths. I remember my daddy said, he told my mom, "Oh, Dad, we wouldn't have nothing if it wasn't for you." He didn't know how to manage money. She did. Her daddy was a businessman. My dad's parents got killed. He was a hard worker and an honest man. So they had the elements they needed. They just used each other's strengths. And they put each other first. Now, I'm growing up, that mama would make me understand. She said, now go ahead and do what you got to do. When daddy come home, he's going to be tired. And you don't, and he's going to want to sit out and rest. He's been working hard all day. And she painted that picture for me. And she did this all the time. And she would have dinner ready. She served him. He would come home every payday. And he'd give her the money. They put each other first. And they had a lot to show for it. I grew up in a brand new house. We moved in the house in 1966. I was 3 years old. We moved there in November of 1966. I'll never forget it. Brand new house. I had a brand new room. And, you know, I thought this was normal. I thought, you know, most parents had, you know, had nice homes. I was just a happy kid. And I felt secure because my parents, and you know, they were more developed. They had, they were older. My mom was 40 when she had me. My dad was 42, according to my birth certificate. So, I saw the life of God performed. No, then Satan can't take away something that you have. You know, and I met people that had parents that fought. They had to go live somewhere else. Or, I saw all kind of things as I got older. And sometimes, a few times when I was a child. But God loves his people. And I saw a standard. That's what I'm getting at. The life of God works. And when I became an adult, and once I got saved, I wanted to obey God. I wanted to do all that God wanted me to do. And I didn't want to be tempted by the devil. And I had studied how people always fail God. Adam ate off the tree God told him not to eat off of. Moses hit the rock and started speaking to it. People always did something that God told them not to do, even the best. And not to mention Israel. You know, he tell them to do something, they won't do it. Go take the land. Well, we can't. We just like grasshoppers in that sight. Okay, now you're gonna walk the wilderness for 40 years. Now they want to go fight, and they go try to fight and get hurt because God's not with them. Why not do it God's way? One time, be done with it. When God is with you, act. I made mention a few weeks ago, or a few broadcasts ago. A lot of people, when God gives them the office of an apostle, they try to hide from it and be pastors or evangelists or something, and they don't fit. They're out of God's will. They're not learning and they're not training into what God wants them to be. They're trying to save face. Then you got pastors that's not apostles that say, or preachers that say that they're apostles and they're not. They don't have the anointing, and it's obvious. If a man has that anointing and God called him and they try to be a pastor, they stand out. They don't fit. They're in disobedience because they're not doing the office that God called them. And they're trying to hide into a pastor's office, and it's obvious that they're not pastors. Now they can do, you know, when they counsel people, they don't fit. The only time it works is when God give them. He can have an apostle stand in place for a pastor. It only work for a while, but when it's time for them to be doing something else, they don't fit. And when people say that they're apostles and they're not, they don't fit. They're worse. In other words, why not just do what God say do? And I saw people treat God like this. And I wanted to make sure that if whatever God want me to do, I want to do it. And I want to do it his way. So that as I studied the word for myself, I saw that that was important. And I'm not going to try to change God's mind. You know, if God wants to do something, I'm going to stick with it. Now, if he want me to You know, I'm a priest too. We all kings and priests. And sometimes I say, Lord, what's my wisdom here? What do you want me to do? You brought this knowledge to me. What do I do? And he showed me what to do. And I do that. That's following God. That's connected to the head. That's when things work. That's when miracles flow. So when the enemy was attacking me with temptation, I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go the rest of my life with this cloud over my head. I want to kill it. You know, when I had my business, you know, I used to watch movies. I used to like to watch action movies. And every time a gangster would come and try to bully people, say, when we come around every week, you're going to give us so much money and we won't bother you. And I used to get mad. I said, if anybody ever do me like that, I'm going to shoot them. They won't even leave my property. I'm going to shoot them. I'm not living that way. I'm just using this for an example. Bear with me. And I did think like that. I said, I'll start a fight and I'll shoot them. Now, I'm not going to live looking over my shoulder. But I had, the Lord trained me how to do spiritual warfare. And I said, you know, Lord, I really don't want to kill nobody. Because I'm not the kind of person that'll let somebody bully them. No, that's not going to happen. And I'm not going to cower down to people. You know, I'm going to stand, I'm going to fight. That's how it is. Now, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And I learned how to fight spiritually. This is after I had my shop. I had already stopped gunfights. But I said, if anybody comes to me that way, I'm going to fight. I'm going to protect myself. That's reasonable. That's different than somebody just, you know, you're not trying to provoke. They're coming to you with a war. And I said, Lord, I don't want to kill nobody, because then I'll go to jail and won't be able to raise my children. And this crazy justice system we got, you know, they love to put folks in jail that just to, you know, for their agendas and whatever. And I said, you know, a man can do everything right and protect his family, and he'll end up in jail in this country. And I thought about it. I said, but I'm still not going to put up with no gangsters. I don't like gangsters, and I don't like pimps. And I hate gang activity. I don't like that. And I'm not afraid of them. But I said, Lord, bless me not to have to deal with something like that. Because if they come to me, I'm going to shoot them. I'm not going to give them a chance to come back. And it never happened. Now, I said that to say this. You know, our spiritual weapons are mighty, and they can pull down strongholds. You can stop Satan before he starts. You don't have to wait on him to attack you. You can put things in motion. My prayers, my authority, I used it because I didn't want those scenarios to happen. Now, with temptation, it's the same thing as the gangster coming to bilk money out of you every week. Are you going to let the devil nag you the rest of your life? I said, Lord, how do I kill this problem? Women are not going to wear clothes these days. They're going to dress however they want to. But I don't want it to affect me. I said, I don't know how to do it, but you do. Now, the short version, he taught me two things. Now, these are two key things that he taught me. To be fair, he taught me about women. He taught me how they think, which I'll never tell most men because they'll use it against them. He taught me all the things that I could find in the scripture against temptation. I studied it. But this is the main thing he taught me. He taught me to love my enemy. All the women that was trying to tempt me, they knew I was married. They were my enemy. They were of the enemy. I saw them of the enemy. But the Lord taught me to love them as a person, love their soul. Love them. And I found out, when you think about it, it's true. If you love somebody, you can't lust after them. And just let it soak in a minute. It's not the way. You can't get this kind of knowledge from the world system. if you love somebody like God, like Jesus loved you, you cannot lust after them. It won't happen. I love my wife. My wife is beautiful and she's attractive. Women are designed by God to attract men. But you can't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents everything that you must reject. It is possible to see something beautiful or see someone beautiful and reject them at your own free will. And I found out through the love of God and the strength of God. I don't do it in my strength, I do it in His. I'm talking of what I'm doing is sharing the mechanics of how love works and how the ways of God works. God knew that women would be born to Adam, and men, beautiful, handsome men, would be born to Eve, and the people would grow. And they needed a reference of rejecting something that they cannot have. Now, when I read the book of Jasher, the book of Enoch, it described the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a beautiful tree. It had aroma, and it was beautiful, and the fruit looked real good and delicious. And you got to say no to it. Now, there are people out there, even after you get married, you can find out. There are three, I learned this from the Lord. There are three attraction points: spirit, soul, body. Most of the time, people focus on the body, on the outer man. And they say, ooh, that woman's beautiful. She's got a pretty face or a pretty figure or whatever. And women say, that's a strong looking man. That's an attraction point. Then, but when they get married or if they date or whatever, they find out they're not compatible. Because spiritually and mentally, they're two different types of people. No matter how wonderful they look, they don't want to be together. Then there are people, they may not look appealing outwardly, but inwardly, they're beautiful. Their spirit, it's like a connection with your spirit. And then mentally, the soul, they have the same ideals. Those can be attraction points. And people usually meet people in the workplace or wherever they're around each other, and they get to know each other and they start talking. And this can happen. So, but you got to say no when you're married or if they're married. And he taught me these things. And I found out you could be tempted with people that you normally wouldn't think you would be attracted to. So I had a shotgun verse that I would always say, saying you can't tempt me with no woman and you can't tempt no woman with me. And it works. It works. But the two things that he taught me was love them and you won't lust after them. And then there were times I said, something else is wrong. I don't know what it is. He said, don't fear falling. And that did it. That broke it. Now, fear attaches you to Satan. If you fear something, you made yourself subject to it. I was making myself subject to a concept that wasn't real. Fear has no foundation. It has no foundation. It's not real. It's like building a building without a foundation. There's nothing holding it up. Now, fear is a drive. The Lord taught me this since I mentioned that. I got to go back a bit. He taught me this about fear. Fear is a spirit. But fear is a driver. It has no foundation. The Lord taught me this. But the way it works is, whenever you fear something, fear is a belief. But it's a deadly belief. if you fear something other than God. If you fear God, that's the beginning of knowledge. Because God is life, no death can come from him. So if you fear God, you made yourself subject to God and you're safe. But if you fear evil, you made yourself a slave. If you fear temptation, you made yourself a slave. And Satan will accuse you, and the problem is, you will cause, fear has no foundation. It uses you to produce what you fear. It will use your speech and your works to produce what you fear. In other words, when you act on fear, you create what you fear. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put this out there since I saw this stuff. Thundering. The Lord told me that he was going to destroy the Democrats because of things that they have done in Congress. All the Democrats that, you know, God put Trump in office and they lied on him. They used the media and they lied on him. They acted on their fears. Now, what they feared, they created against themselves. Now, watch. They're going to get kicked out of office. So, continuing. When you act on fear or speak it, you create what you fear. You put things in motion, and you're going to end up in the situation you fear. It's like the woman, she got hurt by a boyfriend in the past, and she fears that whenever she have a relationship with a guy, he's going to do what that guy did. That guy was a jerk. This guy may love her, but every time he come home late, God forbid he have a flat, she's going to say, "Where you been? What you been doing?" She's going to start an argument. And I've seen this happen so many times. Sometimes the wisdom, the knowledge of God is displaying itself before you. In fact, this is how I learned this anyway. They'll speak it and they'll keep on, and then their fear is driving away the guy that really care about them. And she's going to end up alone. She's going to do everything necessary to create her fear. And she'll never stop doing it unless she stops fearing somebody. But she fears being betrayed, and she causes it to happen because she fears it. And so it is with everything. So when the Lord taught me to love the women that was trying to tempt me, it wasn't a problem. I didn't run after them, but most of my customers were women, and when you're working at somebody's house, they'll try stuff. And you know, I learned I don't go in nobody's house. And you know, the Lord taught me how to carry myself around people, around women. And I would always pray. I would always take authority. I don't leave anything to happenstance. And he taught me these things. But the main thing that got me free and stable is love them and don't fear. Now, I'm saying these things because when you follow God, you can reject darkness to the point that you master it. And that took time from the time I first started praying to master that problem. And there are many other problems that people haven't mastered yet. And they want God to do a move, a Holy Ghost move on their life, and they haven't dealt with some things. One thing that we all must deal with is Cain jealousy. Now, listen to what I'm going to summarize with this one. In Jude, he talked about people going in the way of Cain. And that won't work. You have to follow God, and you have to stay in the love of God in order to be what God called you to be. Now he's talking about false prophets, but this is how people become false. They allow things that should not be. He said, verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. When God is trying to give them new knowledge, they reject it. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Now these three people, Cain, Balaam, and Korah, they all had the same problem. They wanted power. And they didn't walk in the love of God. When others did better, they got jealous. If you get jealous of any other man of God, you got to deal with it. It's not going to go away, and Satan is going to accuse you with it. And God is not going to build on top of those broken bricks. We have to love each other, and we have to love each other just like Jesus loves us. Now, John said the same thing in 1 John chapter 3. Oh, I'm out of time. I'll have to close with that. But Cain jealousy has held back the church, and it's an epidemic, and the Holy Spirit can't rest on it. Consider these things, and we'll be back next time. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory.